You ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
One brave person says yes, I think. I don't mean have you bought all your Christmas presents and wrapped them. I mean, are you ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus? I ask because that's what's at the heart of Christmas. Some people call the weeks leading up to Christmas Advent. The idea is that people think about the meaning of Christmas. The idea is they remember it's about the birth of Jesus, celebrating it. The purpose is that people reflect on it. Consider what the coming of Jesus means. Think what it means to them. Do they understand the significance of the coming of Jesus? Are you thankful for it? In recent weeks and months, have you and I been aware of the coming of Jesus? So there's an element for all of us of examining yourself. Maybe this can help us remember the birth of Jesus during the Christmas period and not let it be squeezed out by the busyness and excitement of Christmas. In this sense, are you ready for Christmas? Our time together this morning may well help us get clear about the birth of Jesus as we look at the passage Tony read to us just now. Find it, if you like, in your Bible, Luke 1, verses 5 to 25. God on the move. Has a heading. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. I wonder what you make of John the Baptist. Possibly the one thing many people know about him is that he was beheaded. Sometimes he's called John the Baptizer because he baptized many people, including Jesus. True as these things are, they don't get to the heart of the man, John. To do so, the passage from Luke's Gospel can help us. And I want you to note the first part, the first paragraph that we didn't read. Luke started his book by saying he didn't use guesswork. He'd carefully investigated what had happened. Therefore, he wrote an orderly account, one that's clear and reliable. He was telling his readers about real people and real events. It isn't fiction. It's a true record of what happened in the lead up to the birth of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first heading, God in action. And of course, this brings us from this passage to the priest Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth, and the angel of the Lord, verse 11. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of God, not sinless, but loyal and faithful Jewish people. They couldn't have children, and they were very old, verse 7. And Zechariah was going about his duties as a priest in the temple, verses 8 and 9. And verse 10 tells us that the time for the burning of incense came. And verse 11 tells us that at that time something special happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. When Zechariah saw the angel, we're told, verse 12, he was startled and gripped with fear. Don't be too hard on Zechariah. You and I would be startled if an angel from the Lord appeared to us and started speaking to us. And the angel responded to Zechariah's fear, verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. What an interesting thing to say. Probably there in the temple, Zechariah prayed for God to bless Israel. They not had prophets or messengers from God for many years. And surely, Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for a child. We can't know for sure. But this angel coming and speaking to them could well have been a wake-up call. You've been praying, Zechariah. What did you think would happen? Are you surprised God heard? Has that ever happened to you? You've been praying about something. And you begin to get evidence that your prayer has been heard and God is on the move. God is in action. Maybe not exactly as you'd thought or hoped, because God always knows better. After telling Zechariah not to be afraid, the angel plainly said, end of verse 13, your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and you are to call him John. Wasn't an insignificant statement, was it, considering their age? And John wouldn't be an insignificant man. Verse 14 says, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. The angel said to Zechariah, verse 19, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you. Wow! A messenger from the queen would be something, but a messenger from God? And God knew what would happen. God revealed what would happen. He sent an angel to Zechariah with a message. Surely we see God in action here. There hadn't been prophets for some years, but now an angel comes, sent by God, and speaks to Zechariah. Your wife will bear you a son, verse 13, and he will be great, verse 15. If you are a Christian here this morning, remember this angel visit wasn't a random minor event. God was at work. God had been planning something, something big. Now the visit of the angel is evidence that God is activating his plan. His plan was being carried out. What had God been planning? What was he actually carrying out? You say, well, from this passage, the birth of John the Baptist, of course. Yes. But there's much more to say. For John was the forerunner of Jesus. When John had grown up and started preaching, he pointed people to Jesus. John said Jesus was much more significant than John. How would Jesus be more important than John? We shall see. The angel Gabriel appeared to someone else too. A young woman called Mary and spoke to her. And verse 28 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. If you heard before about an angel appearing to someone who was afraid by the experience? Oh yes, Zechariah. Look at verses 30 and 31 in this chapter. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And that name means Savior. You may wonder, why read a passage about the John the Baptist so near to Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Well, because God's plan to show himself to the world in the coming of Jesus and to save people from the penalty of their sins through Jesus was now being carried out. John the Baptist led the way. He prepared for the coming of Jesus. God's plan to save people was being carried out. Not just a proposal, it was God in action. God speaking, a serious matter. When God speaks, God's word demands attention. As we hear about the coming of John the Baptist this morning, and as in coming days we hear about the birth of Jesus, we all have much responsibility. How we respond when God speaks to us is vital. There are consequences. Zechariah didn't believe the angel. Verse 20 tells us that. And for months up to the birth of John, Zechariah couldn't speak. I'd like to speak this morning to anybody here who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ yet. Have you ever thought God was getting through to you? Ever thought he was saying something to you, perhaps through the Bible or something else you've read? Or through a Christian who spoke to you? Ever been skeptical and refused to believe what God has said? Well, you should know from this passage. To reject what God says is a dangerous response. Repeatedly reject God's voice, and what you're doing is opting for spiritual deafness, choosing to keep yourself in the dark. This morning, don't do that. Give God's word attention. Here's a challenge if you're not a Christian. Can you talk to a Christian you trust to show your openness to what God has to say to you? Talk to them before Christmas Day, maybe starting today. And Christians here this morning, a challenge for you too. Are you willing to talk to someone else about Jesus, even before you leave this morning? Or is talk about Jesus okay for church and a service, but when it's finished, that's it? Never mentioned till next time. Why do I urge us all to talk about Jesus? Because, and here is the third heading, there is good news to accept. The angel of God had been sent to Zechariah to tell him good news, verse 19. It was good news because Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son. But more than that, it was good news because God's plan to make it possible for people like you and me to be accepted by God, that plan was actually being carried out. It would be possible for guilty sinners like we all are to be forgiven by God, accepted by God, and to know God in this life and beyond death. That plan was being carried out. So friends, rejoice, it's good news. For more on this good news, look at a few verses in Luke 2. I'd like to read to you verses 8 to 12. Luke 2, verses 8 to 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Did you notice? An angel appeared to the shepherds and they were terrified. Ever heard before about someone being afraid when an angel spoke to them? It can be quite a wake-up call, can't it? When you believe God is trying to get through to you. If you're not a Christian, you may have been thinking for some time, these Christians, they're overconfident. They can't be sure. They think they know, but they don't really. So I won't believe it myself. They can keep their good news. I don't believe in God or this stuff about John the Baptist or Jesus. There are lots of people like that in our society and around the world. But God doesn't so easily give up on people. Something happens that unsettles them, makes them not quite so sure that dismissing God was wise and right. Maybe they become ill and they wonder, is there a God to whom I can pray? Or they have an accident and might have been more seriously injured or even lost their life. But they didn't, and they thank God, and then they remember, oh, for a long time I've said there is no God to thank. I can't thank him. Or they see something amazing in creation that makes them wonder, oh yes, and wonder if there was a designer, though they'd thought not. Or someone they love dies, young. And they ask, why such a young person, such potential? Until they remember that for some time they've been saying there is no God, so to be consistent, you can't ask God why. Or you see something new in a Bible passage, and you're a bit startled, a bit unsettled, a bit challenged, a bit more open to believing them as usual. And that's exciting, but scary too. You might think, God, are you addressing me this morning? I don't know what to say. What are you supposed to say to God? What am I supposed to say to God? If I say, I've heard good news that God came in Jesus to save people, and that he loved even me, enough to die for me in his crucifixion, and still loves me, and I might want to change and become a believer in Jesus, whatever will others who know me think? They'll be surprised, shocked, maybe puzzled. And you may ask yourself, as I've been telling God to clear off for so long, does that count me out? Well, no, it doesn't. Remember the name of Jesus. It means Saviour. Jesus came to save people just like you. Yes, you can come to Jesus, admitting you've been wrong to dismiss him in the past. Yes, if you stop insisting on being independent of God and instead turn to him, confessing your wrong attitude to God, and have you sometimes done and said wrong things? If you do that to God, it's a kind of prayer, and God will hear that prayer. If you feel God is speaking to you this morning and it makes you afraid, remember what the angel said to Zechariah, don't be afraid. Remember what the angel said to Mary, don't be afraid. And that's what God is saying to you this morning. If you feel he's been speaking to you, getting your attention, wanting you to accept him and come to be a follower of Jesus, he's not out to harm you, he's out to help you. He would say to you, don't be afraid. He'd come to save you. You might think, well, I am interested in becoming a follower of Jesus. I'm very open to it. But I hesitate because I feel rather weak. I don't think I could keep it up. I've got just one more heading from this passage. God's Spirit is there to fill us. The end of verse 15, speaking about John the Baptist, says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, speaking about Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke's Gospel, when he comes to chapter 4, verse 1, speaking about Jesus, says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You might think you'd like to become a Christian, but don't have the power to get started, don't have the power to keep it up. Well, that's right. None of us on our own do have the power to change and live rightly. But God has the power. Come to God honestly and sincerely, admitting your sin, asking God to forgive you, then because of Jesus, God won't reject you. His Holy Spirit will come into your life to change you and empower you to live as a disciple of Jesus. If you are a Christian, and you know you need more of God's power, then ask him for more of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and expect your prayer to be answered. Look at these four headings. We've seen God in action. We've seen that God's word demands attention. And in this word from God, it's good news to accept. And there's God's Spirit to fill us. Think about these things. If you were not a Christian when you came in here this morning, will you include Jesus in your life from now on? Will you include the birth of Jesus in your celebrations this year, or leave it out? If you were a Christian when you came in here this morning, has the coming of Jesus become to you ordinary, commonplace, taken for granted? Well, if so, let's seek fresh worship, as the coming of Jesus into the world was truly remarkable and amazing. Have you been looking for God? Listening to see if he speaks? And now you've heard God getting through to you. Well, may all of us celebrate the birth of Jesus with new heart and joy. We can celebrate this morning. And as we come very soon to communion, we have a reminder that Jesus, born to Mary, grew up, lived a perfect life, was rejected and crucified, bearing your sin and mine, so we can go free. Let's pray, and then we'll come to the table. Lord God, we are aware that we're dealing with divine truths, and sometimes they make us tremble, for we are not worthy, any of us, of your great goodness and wonderful love in coming here to rescue us. But we thank you that you're getting this good news across to us, revealing to us that we can be followers of Jesus. Not because we're good enough, because we know we're not. Not because we're powerful enough. But because you've reached to us in Jesus to show us the way to be restored to God our Maker. And therefore we pray, our Father, you will help us in this time round the table to remember our Lord Jesus Christ in a way which is true and fitting and honouring to him. Because we pray it in his name. Amen.